This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Come on in, everybody. Pull up your beanbag chair, grab a can of Surge, and settle in for a new episode of the Place to Be Nation Live Watch Party. As usual, the panel and I will be providing commentary and hopefully a little bit of levity while watching wrestling shows so that you, the listener, can feel like you're sitting right along with us. Let's bring in our loaded panel. Some people have, well, they're locked in hotels somewhere, perhaps a hotel basement. So it's a little less loaded than we thought it was going to be. But first, we will bring in the social media and marketing genius, a Place to Be Nation, man who is not going to be seeing Pearl Jam this week, sadly, Mr. Jason Greenhouse. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, despite not being able to go see that band. It's still a pleasure to be with you gentlemen here tonight.
Yeah, it is a shame, but, you know, sometimes you got to take a stand.
You got it.
And speaking of stands, that doesn't work in any means whatsoever, that transition, but he is the host of his very own podcast hour. I'd like to see him as, I kind of call him the Merv Griffith in our time, only he has a lot more Star Trek and Matzah talk on his podcast. Glennie Bunn, Glenn Butler, how are you?
I am all right. I am full up of the Star Trek and Matzah talk indeed. Now, you said this show is loaded. Is it loaded in the manner of a boot or a glove?
No, I was hoping, like, alcohol, but
oh, that too, my friend.
Unfortunately, I came straight from work to be on the podcast. I actually kind of kicked somebody out because they were taking too long, and I needed to get to my old episodes of wrestling.
Well, we all calm ourselves in our own ways.
Exactly. So we are going to be picking up tonight on not one but two series that we've been working on. Last episode we looked a little bit at ECW, but first off tonight we are going to continue looking at the premiere year of Monday Night Raw. We are on episode 29, which is August 9th, 1993. And I was trying to look back at some previous episodes and figure out where we were at, and we were crossing the country with the Lex Express still. It's been about a month that we've been doing that. And it's about, I think the Lex Luger Express is coming to a crashing end shortly. And we've also marveled at Mr. Hughes. We looked at the top 500 in PWI and also kind of compared him to an Uber driver. And we've rejoiced with Steiner squashing people. And in the last episode, which was kind of heinous, we did get a appearance of Jim Cornette at the end, kind of dancing with Bobby Heenan. So if you are watching or listening to us right now, you can hop on the network. As I said, it's episode 29. There's a picture of a very sweaty Lex Luger and Yokozuna and Vince McMahon. And we will count you in. You can press play along with us and play along. Feel free to talk with us and we'll respond. It's quite amazing, this technology. All right, we'll press play in 3, 2, 1. And we are in close to my hometown of Chicago at the old Comiskey Park. Well, they show that's U.S. Cellular. That is not Comiskey Park.
Yes. That was Tim Raines, I believe, speaking with Lex. And then Lex was throwing out the first pitch with his American flag shirt and a fanny pack. So we have an early nominee for most 90s look.
Yes.
That's pretty much the victor 30 seconds in.
Now, he did, of course, throw that pitch with the steel-reinforced arm.
Right. Probably threw it through home plate, through the backstop. And this looks... Is this Poughkeepsie again?
No, this is Liberty or Lake Placid, the same one as the last time.
Yes. We got Vince, Randy, Bobby Heenan, and a... orange windbreaker with no shirt under it. Zip down to his nipples.
Yeah, the Orange Julius of windbreakers.
Lex Luger wants us to enlist in all of the military conflicts in 1993.
Ugh. tonight, the Tatanka, recently in WrestleMania, Tatanka will wrestle Mr. Hughes.
Not recently in WrestleMania, Mr. Hughes.
Oh my. We have another six-man tag team matchup that's going to be starting. I'm not going to spoil it because I don't know if you guys have your captioning on.
I, for one, do not.
I'm not going to say anything.
I like surprises, so.
This will be a surprise.
Mr. Hughes already in the ring.
Yeah, Tatanka coming out. I thought he was doing the war dance around the Fink.
So what did you guys think of Tatanka at WrestleMania this year? WrestleMania 32 in the Battle Royal.
I thought it was really weird that he got, like, no acknowledgement.
Yes.
Right?
I mean, the entire point of bringing someone like Tatanka back is to have fun watching him enter. It's not to actually see him in the match.
Hmm. And it was like, along, with, along with Diamond Dallas Page, too. I mean, he was a surprise entrant, and he really didn't get any big spotlight.
He didn't get a huge spotlight, but at least he got an entrance. So he got that, you know, minute while he was walking down that people could say, oh, cool, it's DDP, instead of, wait, is that Tatanka?
Yeah, I don't want to live in a world where people think that Shaq is better than Tatanka.
Oh, no. Tatanka just kind of wiped out on a leapfrog, and now they're both kind of staring at each other.
Wasn't even close. He clipped Hughes in the back of the head. Mm-hmm. Vince has already like botched his commentary when Hughes kind of came from behind to attack Tatanka at the bell. They said that Tatanka perhaps made his first mistake of the match.
Maybe.
Well.
Oh, got referee Tim White here.
Mm-hmm.
And the black wreath of death at ringside for what seems to be like 2 months now.
Almost got him.
Tatanka's still undefeated at this point. Maybe he was still undefeated now in WrestleMania 2016 and yeah. Those other matches just didn't exist where he lost.
And that's another notch on Baron Corbin's belt then, right?
Right.
Right. But wins and losses did count back in 1993. So.
Yeah, they did.
I'm still fascinated by Mr. Hughes as a man who wrestles in a belt and a set of suspenders. Like, those pants are going nowhere.
Nope. Tailor-made.
I am pretty sure Barbara Bush is front row center.
Like, oh, God. Yeah, well, if we're in the same taping, then, yeah, wasn't there, like, a Barbara Bush or a Linda McMahon in there?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. There have been a couple really awkward spots in this match.
Yeah. No chemistry.
He was wearing a camouflage tie tonight, I think.
Is it camouflage? I thought it was paisley.
Yeah, now like, when it was a close-up, it looked more camouflage, and now it's...
Also, you'd think wearing a tie in the ring would be more of a disadvantage.
I don't wear a tie.
Especially,
oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, especially a guy of his large stature wearing a tie all buttoned up and stuff. It's got to be a little warm.
I don't wear ties in real life.
Yeah, me neither.
Only bow ties for me.
I was talking to someone today, a child, and he had to go to a function, a communion, I believe, and he has a Velcro bow tie. Like, I've heard of the zipper ties, mm-hmm. I've heard of the clip-ons, but this was a Velcro, and I'm thinking I'm in for that.
Probably more comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, if you're into wearing bow ties, it doesn't even have to tie, it just sticks right on.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Tim White is a Velcro. The one he has on.
I would probably wear a lot more ties if I could Velcro them on.
Tim White always had a nicely groomed beard. Always a fan of his.
Yes, very consistent trim on him.
Mm-hmm.
If only our podcast was like sponsored by Harry's, like a lot of the other podcasts.
Yeah.
Get a nice plug in there.
Well, that's what people come to the live watch party for, is expert fashion analysis of old wrestlers.
Speaking of which, we know we were talking about Hughes probably getting really, really warm. He is completely soaked through his shirt.
Oh, he's drenched.
Oh, yeah.
His glasses fall.
Lost the shades, sweat through the shirt. Yeah. The tie is going everywhere.
Now when Hughes loses the shades, that's like Lawler dropping the strap. He means business.
Oh, he is drenched.
Oh, he is not in a good way. He was especially not in a good way when he hit the post a minute ago. You'd think that would have done something for Tatanka, but not so much so far. And Hughes' shirt has officially popped out.
Yeah, it looks like he's got trunks underneath his dress pants.
Oh, God, even worse. Talk about ratcheting up the heat. And a back body drop.
On the floor.
He's going to have some serious chub rub when this match is over. He's all layered up. And ooh.
Count out victory. And, like, I don't know if you noticed, but I almost called him Mark Henry. That's really bad of me.
No!
Mr. Hughes has just a ton of sweat in his eyes.
Yep, got to protect him, though.
Uh-oh. The entire crowd is going ballistic for him to turn around. Oh, and he gets hit in the back of the head with the urn. The humanity.
Oh, so tragic.
Speaking of fashion, Harvey Whippleman wearing the light brown shoes with the black suit. They're like loafers.
Yeah.
They're either loafers or like work boots almost.
Oh, yeah, like...
He's got Timberlands on.
What the hell? Yeah,
like the faux velvet that was popular around this time.
Oh, Harvey.
Oh, man.
He broke the wreath over his knee. Ooh.
It's styrofoam. It's not an actual wreath. Oh, that's so sad.
Oh.
It's just a wreath with spray paint on a couple flowers.
The next thing you're going to tell me, there aren't ashes in that urn.
Oh. Well, no, it's just the spirit of the Undertaker.
Oh,
it's just glowing light.
As long as we have a container for the Undertaker's immortal soul.
Yep.
Now, for God's sake, Mr. Hughes, get in the damn shower.
Yeah, poor guy.
Ugh.
And you go right to Tatanka in the gym.
Yeah, he's doing okay now. His package is just right in the face.
He's all right. He's on Team IcoPro.
Yes.
Are you? Got the Macho Man, ooh, yeah, foam finger. Who is Lex Luger?
They used to give out those foam fingers and the foam tomahawks for free.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
And they hand them out, get a picture of the kid, and they let them keep it.
Oh, astroturfing the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about when he was in college. Oh, and he got in with the wrong crowd.
Uh-oh.
He thought they were the cool guys, and he wanted to be with them and spend time with them.
The Four Horsemen?
Yeah, made a lot of mistakes and paid for being. He got in a lot of disciplinary problems when he was at Miami. I mean, back then, in the 80s, there's a lot of disciplinary problems at Miami.
Yep.
Pro football.
What did he play for? I'm trying to... He played in the Canadian Football League, right?
I feel like he played for the Packers for a minute.
I think you're right.
I don't know if it's a practice team, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a Lex Luger Packers jersey.
Well.
I do have... Two of my least favorite things. Combine them together. Maybe we'll make it positive. Speaking of which, as I said that, Lex Luger likes to take a negative and turn it into a positive. He made the Canadian Football League at the age of 19. And played in the Grey Cup. Also wearing a U.S. flag polo, long sleeve polo.
Now, if he likes to take a negative and turn it into a positive, that must not have done him much good in math class.
No. Unless you have two and you multiply them together. Man, this is a... I like the gray close-ups on his lips.
That is very 90s as well.
Yeah. Well, he finished college in the offseason. That's a positive choice.
Mm-hmm. So that really... must have been about, like, what, 83 or 84? Because didn't he showed up in Florida in, like, 85 or 86, right? And then up to Crockett. Because he's in some of those late 86, early 87 NWA shows on the network.
Mm-hmm. He was going to be an attorney after he got out of the NFL. His parents wanted him to get a real job. And then he walked in, he saw WrestleMania and walked into championship wrestling in Florida.
Wow, you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
Like you call... like whoever your bail bondsman recommended to you when you got a little too drunk at the bar and Lex Luger shows up as your lawyer
with the WCW theme music and hi. He got a 3.78 grade point average.
Oh my goodness.
My God, it's the Bushwhackers!
And
Little Mach!
Introduced last week. He does look like he has a mask on.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't?
That, like that, no, like, not, but like plastered on, you know, like that makeup.
Yeah.
Is that, that's Blake Beverly, isn't it?
Yeah, they were supposed to go against the Beverly Brothers.
It's Blake Beverly and the Brooklyn Brawler?
Brooklyn Brawler.
Okay, mask there's the mask. Yeah, it is like some sort of plastic mask. So Macho Midget made its debut. I think I can say it in this case. On the last episode of Raw.
I didn't know Little Mach would be wrestling, but all right.
No. Ugh. There's definitely been a drop down with this episode and the last episode in Lake Placid.
Mm-hmm.
No, and he's breakdancing just like Macho Man does.
If only.
Spinneroonie.
Spinneroonie, yep.
So they did introduce at the beginning of the show, they said it was going to be Bushwhackers and Macho Midget against the Beverlys. And there's been absolutely no explanation as to why the Brooklyn Brawler is in the ring right now.
And what's the little person's name on the heel team? Is that Little Louie?
Yeah, I feel like we saw him earlier on in a previous episode.
And all the baby faces so far have red, white, and blue wristbands on. I noticed Savage had them on, Tatanka, and now the Bushwhackers.
There's a lot of biting in the butt right now.
Yep.
There's recursive New Zealand butt biting.
Yes.
You didn't help Billy. I heard that.
He didn't ask if it's Hillbilly Jim. Oh, Macho Midget with an Okada-like drop kick.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, this isn't even fair. I mean, Little Louis is so much bigger than Little Mach. It's like he's the Big Show of little people wrestlers.
And then more dancing by the Bushwhackers.
Well, it is what they're best at.
So Chad Campbell was supposed to be with us tonight. Do you think he looked at the card and just like, nah?
Little Louie.
Little Louie's exerting himself.
Hey guys, how many people from this match made your greatest wrestler ever lists?
I don't know, but we're going to spend 3.5 hours talking about it.
All right.
This match alone, we'll break it down. A good old-fashioned crisscross between the... Oh, Macho Midget's getting tired.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because, I mean, to him, that ring is freaking huge.
Little Louis still going.
Now they're running together. Oh! An AJ Styles-like dropkick from the Macho Midget.
It's something that would have made Jim Brunzel proud.
Yeah.
One of the Bushwhackers tags in, immediately turns around to raise his fist to the crowd. Good job.
Now, I've been watching the captions. There has still been no mention of the fact that Brooklyn Brawler is at ringside. Oh, now, there we go. Now, with Brawler hitting, missing that elbow.
And knocking those noggins.
Do you think they allowed Brooklyn Brawler to come in because of the continued alliteration of Blake Beverly, Bo Beverly, Brooklyn Brawler? That's the only thing I can think of.
Right.
It's thematically appropriate, sure.
Miscommunication between the heel team, and of course there would be. It's not like these guys are going around the circuit tagging together.
Big ups to Little Mach wrestling in his mask.
Yeah. You can see on the bottom where it's like kind of formed to his head.
Test of strength by the midgets. Oh my goodness.
This match has gone on way longer than it should have.
I'm waiting for more of Macho Man's signature spots from Little Mach. You know, he needs to do the... Like, we can't get out of this match without him doing the elbow, right?
No, it's got to happen. For people who are complaining that the Shane and Taker match at WrestleMania 32 went too long, go ahead and watch this match. You'll be glad that that match went 27 minutes.
Really, I think I should count how many times I've sighed in this match. Doing did he just hump the air?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
She's gonna say they did the classic referee catches the.
Oh, it's the best spot ever.
Yeah,
there it is.
Did not do it for Lil Louis.
Earl Hebner didn't want anything to do with it because Louis's like 200 pounds. It's not like a typical midget who weighs 80. A hot tag to Butch.
Butch is a house of fire. Oh, a battering ram with Brooklyn Brawler instead. If it was Luke, that would have been a pin.
And a double team DDT.
Oh, here it comes.
Uh-oh. Oh, all right. Don't let me down, show. Give me one. Give me this one thing. And it's a splash. And not the elbow or anything. Thanks, show.
And it wasn't so much of a splash as it was more of a just kind of fall off the top rope.
I think Randy Savage needs to train this guy up a little.
I wonder how, like, Savage, like, how did he feel about this? Did he feel disrespected? Did he feel honored?
It's a payday.
Yeah.
Well, this is around the time he really wanted to wrestle again, and Vince wanted him on commentary, and so he put a little version of him in the actual ring. That's got a sting.
Up next, big contract signing.
Don't fat shame Yokozuna.
We all know contract signings do not end well. Ooh, look at this entourage in the ring. Bruce Prichard, Jack Tunney. One of Yoko's who-is, two of them.
One who has
chewing gum.
And braces. You can't chew gum with braces.
Yeah.
If Dr. Horrigan taught me anything back when I was in middle school. Yokozuna coming to the ring. They say he weighs 568 pounds right now.
Woof.
Oh, Yokozuna, if you don't like the red, white, and blue, leave.
Well, he likes the red and the white, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, here comes Jim Cornette.
And Cornette's got the blue.
And the pink.
Yeah, Cornette's got an outfit that must have been stretching 1993 TVs to their limit.
And Heenan's in the ring, too.
Mm-hmm. Heenan, Tony Garea, Dave Hebner. I think I saw Pat.
They're now seeing Jim Cornette as their official American spokesman.
Fuji has his $2 Old Navy shower sandals on again.
Well, this makes great radio. You know, you know, watching these promos.
Yeah, there's a lot of promos right here.
Savage keeps like gesturing out to the crowd. He is trying to get them pumped.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and folks, you know, I need to make an introduction right now. I have just hired on my own American spokesman. You know, I generally only have Japanese spokespeople, but I have branched out and I have officially called up my American spokesperson, Mr. Jordan Duncan. Jordan Duncan, speak for me.
Aran number one, America. Did I do that right?
Yes.
Sure did.
Yep. He's an Iranian American. But he's still an American.
Right. We I watched a documentary about him.
Yeah, we were a melting pot.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Sorry I'm late.
No, you didn't miss much.
You are missing a midget six-man tag.
Wow.
Mr.
Hughes
sweat out of his body.
Don't know if missing is the right word. Then.
And currently we have Jim Cornette in the ring with Fuji, Yokozuna, and an entourage of WWF brass.
Who are those two guys between Pat and Rene Goulet?
I Bob do not Uecker? Know.
I was joking with the Bob Uecker. I don't know either. It's a lot of setup to with Yokozuna and Cornette.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sweet mullet. In the crowd. Currently, there are 14 men in the ring.
Oh, hello.
Oh, Renee Young's my Canadian spokesperson.
I'm catching up. Wow. There's some forced ad content.
Jordan, are you getting ready for your second screen experience?
I am. I am trying to sync up.
Jordan, Lex Luger is just about, he is just walking down the aisle right now.
Right.
And my prediction is that Randy Savage will remain the person the crowd is most interested in this whole scenario.
I'm going to say this. Anytime we have a live watch and I can just come in after the Mr. Hughes match, I think I'm just going to do that.
Oh, big stare down. I'll give him this. Yokozuna looks like just a badass right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lex Luger...
This is a more toned down look for Lex Luger. The flag is only on his tie. That's a good look for him.
He needs a flag handkerchief in his pocket instead of a white one. Really, we needed to be the fashion coordinators of the 1993 Raw.
I don't think he owned his suit. He raided Vince's closet.
Vince wouldn't have been caught dead in something that plain.
Double-breasted.
Put a design on it!
I always used to call that one guy standing right in the middle. I used to just call him Mushroom Head. I don't know who the blonde guy is, but he's got that mushroom.
Rene Goulet.
Yeah. Like when I was a kid, I mean, I just called him Mushroom Head, you know?
Yeah, he was in every schmoz that
the time.
Yeah.
And I never knew him, you know?
Mushroom Head, Mushroom Head. Ate a wild mushroom, now he's dead.
I think Glenn just came up with an origin story.
That doesn't seem like an origin. That seems like an ending.
No, that's how he became, you know, like, the ghost of Mushroom Head.
Oh, he was resurrected by the immortal souls of mushrooms? To have mushroom powers?
Sure. I wouldn't say resurrected, more spored.
Yes. We should be trademarking this. Mushroom Head TM, TM, TM.
So obviously jumping in late, but this is the SummerSlam contract signing, of course, correct?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are they talking about how I was going to be in attendance, I'm assuming?
That's what it's all about.
Jordan Duncan will be there.
Jim Cornette is saying that they have an added clause to the contract.
The Santa Clause.
If Lex Luger wins, he will become the champion. Wait, what?
I'm amazed they didn't think to put that in before. But why would Cornette do that?
Lex is just sweating.
But if he loses, if he loses, he will never get a shot at the title again. Which makes what happens at SummerSlam even weirder.
Yes. And the next Royal Rumble.
Oh, poor Lex. Drenched.
Yeah.
Someone needs to do their cardio.
Those must be some really hot lights they've got above there.
Even Vince is sweating pretty good, too, and he's not really known for that I could think of. Yoko's
got
probably
nice neck sweat.
Yeah, he's probably the least drenched.
Yeah, he's 600 pounds, so at least he has an excuse.
Yeah.
I think Mr. Fuji just hit the camera with his flag.
He's so useless.
He can't do anything right.
So what was Macho in the ring for? Just because the announce crew's in the ring?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone's there.
Gotcha.
Oh, Rene Goulet just took a table to the junk.
Good.
Macho Man looks like he's about to jump in the middle of this.
To his other mushroom head.
Oh! TM, TM, TM.
So Lex has meant... Yokozuna does look like a badass. Just wiped his brow.
Just throws his sweat right in Lex's face.
Lex Luger said he's met thousands of people that support him on his tour, and he's going to bring that belt right back to the United States where it belongs, even though it's literally
currently
put away from him.
Well, does that mean Yokozuna's shoulder is like an embassy? Technically, it's Japanese land.
Yes, wherever he goes. Oh, my. You think it's just extra patriotic because it's Lake Placid? This is just bringing back memories of the 80 Olympics. What? What is going on with her?
She's wearing Brutus Beefcake's pants.
Yes.
Even Razor has a red, white, and blue wristbands on.
Hey, yo, I'm from Cuba.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bushwhackers are from New Zealand, and they had them on, too.
Dan.
Well, New Zealand is red, white, and blue, correct?
What's that? Sure. Yeah.
Referee Bill Alfonso in this match.
Gonna call it right down the middle.
Right down the middle, daddy.
Checking out the ring girl's tights, getting a good look as she leaves the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Not even subtle about it, Bill.
No, not quite.
Is he gonna flick the toothpick in her face? Yes.
Classy.
I don't think we've seen this guy before, have we? Dan Dubiel? Dubiel?
Oh, I didn't see his name.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing him before.
He doesn't look familiar. He's only colors shy of the red, white, and blue.
See, he's wearing all white. Does that mean he's going to be bleeding?
Yeah, or he surrenders already.
Might as well.
Heenan's the only one who's plugging stuff besides SummerSlam. He said that Razor's going to be on Wrestling Challenge in the King's Court and going to be against DiBiase at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Was that DiBiase's last?
Yeah, his last match.
Yeah, his last match, right?
Yeah.
In the U.S., yeah.
Yeah, and then he teamed with Hansen, wasn't it?
Yep.
In Japan. Yep. Take that, Shimon.
The band? The boy band Hansen?
Yeah.
Yes, the Mbop tour of Japan.
Razor hits his follower slam really fast in this match. I thought it was over just like that, and then he goes to some rest.
Razor submission specialist for a second there.
Yeah.
Doing the abdominal stretch and lifting the leg. Mm-hmm. It was like big Scott Hall stuff. He's just having fun with him right now.
Oh, no.
Second rope back suplex.
Dropped the guy on his neck like he's a Steiner.
It's not even the finish either.
No, he's got to drop him on his neck again.
Really?
Well, Dan Dubiel, you can't just put him away with a top rope. Look at the look on his face.
Oh, dear God.
He is being crucified. Hurt. Oh.
Oh, he was kind of nice to him on that.
Yeah, he was pretty gentle.
Kind of threw him on his rump. On it, right on his Dubiel.
That was, that's what they call convincing.
I gotta say, this episode and the last episode, I'm getting a little worried about the content.
It's going down. Ooh, is this SummerSlam report? Yep.
We might have to look ahead and see what's going on in some of the next episodes to see if we want to continue doing this series.
Oh, yeah, right. When we try to decide what to watch?
Yeah.
Oh. What was that random shot of a pickup truck in the middle of the SummerSlam report?
It's sponsored by Chevy Trucks, which is a pretty big sponsor.
That was Mr. Hughes' Uber, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Picking up Vince to take him to Detroit.
Yeah.
It's funny to see SummerSlam was on a Monday night. Like,
mm-hmm.
I was there, and I don't even remember that it was Monday. I think because pay-per-views have been on Sundays for so long, like, outside of, you know, like, Survivor Series and stuff, I think in my memory they were all on Sundays now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
So, Jordan Duncan, how did you react when Lex Luger won by countout?
Poorly, I think. I don't know. I mean, we were excited that he won, you know, but it was pretty lame. Ooh, the rest in peace match. And of course, you know, if you remember, the ring was covered, like balloons were launched, you know, all over, and you could see them up in the rafters from the minute you got to the arena. So you knew Luger was winning. So the fact that he didn't win the title was a little weird. Just a swerve for the live crowd, I guess.
It's also somewhat deflating when you spend the entire summer building up the guy as the great American hero and then he fails.
Yeah, and feels like an idiot too. Like, he knocked out Yokozuna outside the ring and just like jumped up and down, celebrating, screaming like he'd like done something important, and he won by countout. Where anyone knows that countouts don't win titles,
and generally react with disappointment if they win. Faces usually react with disappointment.
Right, like Lex celebrated like he, you know, slammed Andre the Giant. You know, heavenly bodies.
Look at that head of hair on Pritchard.
Jeez.
Doesn't even look real. Looks like a wig.
Jim Cornette with them, too. He's everywhere.
Referee Tim White checking out this ring girl.
They're the object of every American woman's lust. They are the Doctor of Desire, Dr. Tom Pritchard, and the Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey.
Man, this is a unique arena. It's like a field house or something. It's small. Where is this?
Lake Placid. My guess is that they use this in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it's just a leftover building from then.
You feel like curling.
Yes. Curling, the greatest sport I only have any interest in once every 4 years.
Yes. The shining light of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Jim Cornette.
Oh, that is as may be.
And they've instantly gotten a championship shot against the Steiners.
Bobby Hugh and Mike
Gucci.
Gucci, Nova.
Yep.
Nova, yep.
Okay, I know I came in late, but there's a lot of ponytails tonight. A lot of ponytails.
Which one's which here? Mike, okay, that's Bobby Who. That's going to be tough to decide between him and Nova.
Yeah.
So he's the one that was on first.
Now, which doctor was he?
This is Dr. Tom.
Yes, him too.
There's no confusing those locks.
No. There is so much hair in this match.
Yeah.
Super kick!
Super kick right to the rat tail.
Yeah.
Kick that ponytail right off his head.
Ooh.
Big crescent kick, too.
Now, the heavenly bodies are obviously decent, but like their ring attire is just low class.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of low class ring attire, Mike Bucci in the ring.
Yeah, wow.
Give me the Tin Man singlet, please.
So Mike, I'm correct though. Mike Bucci is the one who's Nova. I know he has a brother.
That does sound like his name. Yeah.
Yes,
that's him.
The illustrious Mr. Simon Dean.
Yeah. It's DDT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jimmy Del Rey's looking pretty impressive.
Ooh, nice knee.
Very bizarre that we've seen, you know, two promos, two jobber matches, and then just Tatanka and Mr. Hughes. Whatever, definitely,
whatever you want to call that one.
Yeah.
By the way, I can't claim to know all the intricacies of storytelling at this time, but Mr. Hughes is carrying on with the urn while The Undertaker is still fighting the Giant Gonzalez.
Yes, I was thinking that as well. Like, you would think that they would be fighting it at SummerSlam.
Yeah, how many people is The Undertaker feuding with simultaneously here?
And we don't really see Giant Gonzalez that much on television, or Undertaker for that matter.
No.
Nice moonsault press by Del Rey to finish
get the
off.
Win, yeah.
Nova. Nova invented that cell.
And they fan him off.
Fan
and
up.
Of course, by meeting Bobby Hu and Mike Bucci, they get a title shot.
Tigger had that spot like Kevin Owens had last year where he was feuding with like five people at once.
Yeah.
Between the main roster and NXT.
Well, you see, by the time of the Royal Rumble, he's feuding with the entire roster.
Yeah.
And in 1 week, Jim Cornette debuted at the end of the last episode, and he's already the spokesman of the heavyweight champion and of the number one, the manager of the number one contenders for the tag titles.
Get things done quick.
And that is what they call an effective businessman.
Cornette is sick and tired of his challenges being ignored. I mean, technically, this is his debut show for TV.
Well, I mean, in reality, they were desperate for a manager because you had Fuji, you had Harvey, Bobby was done, Jimmy was done. Who else was left? Paul Bearer, but I mean, he was with Taker. That doesn't really count. So, yeah, they were in desperate need of a heel manager.
Yeah. It's weird that he's saying he's sick and tired when he just got it.
Yeah, you've been here for 20 minutes, pal.
You got a clause inserted into a contract for the heavyweight championship out, and give me the power of Hulkamania.
Well, we're still selling Hulk Hogan toys.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan, Skinner, Beefcake, Virgil, and IRS.
Ho! Ooh.
Is this for Hacksaw versus Yokozuna? The Steiner Brothers against Money Inc.
Hmm. In some kind of cage, it looks like.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, I was at this show.
Wow. The SummerSlam was spectacular.
Yeah, they taped it after Raw. Same taping.
That's a shame. Cool. Yeah. It's a shame that's not on the network.
That tag match is really fun.
That might be something to find on the old YouTube.
Yeah, it's on there.
The guy in the back doesn't know how to like wave his hands.
They're just pimping that mat. The SummerSlam Spectacular. It's hard to say.
It's the SummerSlam Spectacular.
Yep, yes. I was just going to ask Glenn to pronounce it for us.
A special interview with Giant Gonzalez next week.
Oh, no. Right.
We are going to have to go behind the scenes. Ludwig Borga. Oh, God. Man on a mission.
IRS and El Matador.
It's all our worst dreams, our worst nightmares, and Justin's dream come true.
But also, 1-2-3 Kid versus DiBiase. That's actually a good thing.
Yeah. I got really tense just watching that.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
Wow. What a long 43 minutes.
Yeah. We'll have to go behind the scenes and talk. Have a talk, guys.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know where to begin. Match of the night. I mean, there was only one that had two quote unquote stars in it. That was Tatanka versus Mrs. Hughes. I've called them Mark Henry and Mrs. Hughes. I would like to apologize to the Hughes family formally. Greeny, help me here. What was your match of the night?
I'm gonna go with the Heavenly Body Squash.
Ah, that's a good one. I was just thinking that too. Like, my first thought was go with Tatanka Hughes because it was the match that had the two, you know, mid-carders in it. But Del Rey pulled off a sweet super kick and it's all proud.
Yeah, that was fun.
Glenn, how about you?
I agree.
And and Jordan, you only saw the two squashes.
Yeah, I'll go with the tag. I'll go with the tag one.
All right. Most 90s, Jordan, you missed this, but I like Greeny's call 30 seconds in. Luke with the flag polo and the fanny pack thrown out the first pitch at US Cellular.
Oh, yeah, that sounds right.
Anyone have any objections or any other things you want to?
Well, even just hyping the Chicago White Sox, that's definitely a 90s thing, you know?
Yeah. Mullet of the night, the Dynamite Kid Mustache Memorial. Glenn, how about you? This is a tough one.
Ooh.
We had like 3-in-1 match.
I already forgot the name of the guy who was teaming with Nova.
Who? That's right. Bobby Who.
Yes, Bobby Who.
Jordan, how about you?
I'm gonna go with Dr. Tom. I thought that was magnificent. I don't even know if you count that as a mullet. It's just so much of
everything. That's just long flowing locks.
Yeah. Okay, then I'll go with who?
Bobby Who. Greeny?
Bobby Who's the clear winner here.
We have unanimous selections all the way around. Jordan, we can skip you on this one. What's ranked 0 to 10?
10.
Glenn, I don't want to start this one because I'm thinking real low.
I don't know, like a 2?
Yeah. Jason?
I was going to be generous and say 2.5.
I was going to say 2.5, too, is the first thing. That came. So 7 divided by, that's like, man, it's 2 1/3.
We don't need our calculators for this one.
Yeah,
that's okay.
The worst draw that we've seen. Only slightly ahead of last week's. All right, we are going to take a break. I'm going to go cleanse myself. And we will be back for... we haven't really announced what we're going to do next, so we'll leave it as a surprise. We'll take a few short messages. It will be approximately 1/50th the length of the first quarter of a GWE podcast. Because...
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes and PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscullo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Main Event, Mission Indie Possible, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows with immediate feedback on WWE, NXT, and Ring of Honor Super Shows. And relive wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series, led by Ben Morse, and the Dangerous Alliance Wrestling Podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. We got sports covered, too, with the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., the Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast and the TJ McClune Show. PTBN tackles pop culture and irreverence with Richard and the Mailman, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, and if you like a hybrid of all of this in list form, check out Jordan Duncan's Rank and File. All of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. We want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and Scott Keats' Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
This is Parv, and I'm here to tell you to listen and subscribe to the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation podcast network. That's the PWO PTBN podcast network, where you'll find a ton of in-depth shows done by hardcore fans. We've got Chris Zellner's 1-2 Punch of Exile on Bad Street, and with David Bickenspan, a smash hit Between the Sheets. We've got Wrestling Culture with Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave, Goodwill Wrestling and the Reaction Shows with Good Old Will from Texas. We got This Week in Wrestling with my man Pete and Johnny Sorrow, Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston's Pro Wrestling Super Show, Tag Teams Back Again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze, and a ton of other great shows too. And of course, there's Titans of Wrestling and Where the Big Boys Play with yours truly and some dude from down south called Chad. PWO, PTBN, Podcast Network.
Hi, welcome back. We are going to do a second look at a series we started over a year ago on the Place to Be podcast. We're going to be looking at WCW Monday Nitro, episode 11 from November 13th, 1995. But first, we need to do some plugs. It's required. Brad makes us. So we will start off with Mr. Jordan Duncan, since he was the last to come in. Hey, Jordan, what are you working on?
Right now, a pile of Doritos, but...
Oh, so hot. What flavor?
Just original.
Oh, okay.
But in terms of the site, yesterday I sat down and recorded episode 6 of Rank and File. I had 3 guests. I had Ben Morse again. I had Todd Weber again. And for the very first time, Greg Phillips joined me. And... I let those guys kind of handle the list, and I just sat and listened and chimed in here and there. And we talked about top 10 comic book on-screen performances, movies, television, animation, It was a lot of fun. So, and those guys know a lot more about it than I do. So I just let them run the show, and I just kept score, basically.
So you had Ben Morse representing Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Phillips representing DC, and mm-hmm. Todd Weber representing the...
The Sacramento Kings.
The Sacramento, yes. Vladdy Divac.
Yeah.
I can kind of predict how those lists actually went, but I
You know, I was pretty surprised when we got to the end. The one you would probably expect to be there was there near the end, but not at the top of the list.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting.
I thought we all loved Superman 3, but I guess not.
Yeah. Glenn, oh man, Glenn, you've been busy. You've had podcasts a go-go the last week from before when we're taping this. It's like your third in just a couple days.
Oh yeah, podcasts a go-go, and I'm trying to record more to get ahead on schedule because on the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, I decided a couple months ago to do shows about every single ding-dang Star Trek movie leading up to the release of the 13th at the end of July. So far, we are through number 6. Many of them have been great shows. We've had some great guests on. Mr. Todd Weber, that Jordan was just talking about, was on Star Trek 2. Anyone who wants to see any of the posts for those can just go to policefreenation.com/StarTrek, find the links for all of those. Steve, we
yes.
also got together with my brother, my flesh and blood, to do a campaign 2016 update from the perspective of the Jews. As people are campaigning amongst the chosen people in the lead up to the New York primary, which will be over by the time this comes out. But if you want to hear us kind of laughing to keep from crying about some of those campaign tactics, you can listen to the episode of the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular. Goy Vey is basically where we stand on that.
I can't wait to listen to that one.
Oh, it's so good. You're going to love it.
I downloaded it today, and I plan on listening to it tomorrow afternoon sometime.
And you don't have to be Jewish or know any Jewish people. If you have any knowledge of religion whatsoever, you will enjoy that podcast.
Oh yes.
No, I'm screwed.
Oh yes, there is some choice biblical interpretation in that thing.
Excellent.
There's also, of course, Steve said you don't need to be Jewish, but for any Gentiles who listen to the whole thing, we have a special place in our hearts for you.
Right.
Well, I did listen to you guys break down the entire holiday tournament list, and I definitely felt very Gentile at times.
Oh, this is going to be even more, but feel free to tweet us if you need any translations.
Okay, I will.
Greeny, what you got going on? I hear there's something big coming up with Seinfeld.
There is something big coming up in Seinfeld. We are in full swing with season 7 of our Seinfeld series rewatch. That, of course, is myself, Jordan, JT Rosero, Justin Rosero, whatever name he goes by in that series, Andrew Flanagan, and Aaron George. And this past week, we took a look at a very good episode, The Hot Tub, with Jean-Paul. And this week, possibly the most iconic episode of Seinfeld of all time, The Soup Nazi. We'll be taking a look at that, which I'm very excited about. And this little run that we're in right now in season 7 could be the best 10-episode stretch of the series.
Mm-hmm.
So stay tuned with our feedback with that coming up in the next couple of weeks. And our excellent WWE Network adventure. We have packed up our bags and moved from the Sportatorium in Dallas to the TNT Studios, which I believe were in Baltimore at the time. That is myself, Justin, Scott, Dan McGinn, and Chad Campbell. We are about 3 or 4 episodes into TNT. We're watching them all in order. Lord Alfred Hayes has some very interesting tuxedos during this era. They have some interesting guests and some very fun segments. We've seen everything from Paul Orndorff fat shaming people at a gym to him insulting women at a hair salon. Ivan Putski dancing to polka music and eating kielbasa.
Yes, this happened, and it's all available on the network. The Wild Samoans eating live fish. And the variety of guests ranges from Jimmy Snuka, Lou Albano, Gorilla Monsoon, to Lou Thesz, who actually made an appearance. And they showed a match with Lou Thesz from the 1960s, I believe, from Japan.
Wow,
I forget who
really?
His opponent was. But, yeah, some really cool stuff. So we're going to be continuing with TNT. And coming up soon, and that's in our watch, they shoot the angle for the Rock and Wrestling Connection. With Piper and Cyndi Lauper. So yeah, that's going to be, I'm a couple episodes ahead, and when we publish them, they're really fun to watch. So stay tuned with that.
That's where I entered WWE or WWF. Mm-hmm. Was yep, with too. I think it was like the Superstars or after that showed that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, mm-hmm. Whoa, what is this?
You know, to sing the yeah. praises of Greeny a little bit. He says he's a couple episodes ahead. He's also ahead on Seinfeld too. Like we have a little group chat, and how many episodes ahead are you of us? Are you on that? You're a little bit ahead,
right?
Yeah. Whereas me, it's always like, "Hey guys, we want to get this up by noon at 11:45." I'm furiously typing still, so every single week. So, good man, Jason Greenhouse.
I try.
Man, that makes me feel bad about myself. I'm like 3 weeks behind on anything, anything and everything. All right. Well, as we said, we're going to look at the November 13th, 1995 version episode of Nitro. Yeah, it's been a long day.
Yes, it has.
So we left off there. Pretty much it's been the theme since the first episode of Nitro that there's this continued mistrust between Lex Luger, Sting, Randy Savage, and Hulk Hogan. Recently, we had the reformation of the Four Horsemen. We had a debut of Chris Benoit, which was at the wrong venue, but they didn't really want to tell anything about that. And since it's been so long, it's a little bit different than Raw. We are looking for the match of the night, the most mid-90s person. So those are, you know, those are pretty much the same. But we're also looking for the most WCW moment and the most random appearance. So if there's like a jobber or a wrestler out of nowhere who appears without any fanfare, that would be something to look. Maybe a guest star that pops up. So we are at the Nitro theme is where we are paused. Mm-hmm. I will count everyone in 3, 2, 1. This is closed captioning.
I missed this intro.
Anyone see the fake WCW Nitro introduction that they put up on the WWE Network recently? Like if Nitro continued and was owned by WWE?
Oh, wow. No.
It's kind of cool. It was the same intro pretty much, but then with some, you know, WWF guys thrown in there too. Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Coming from Jacksonville, Florida. Quite a bit bigger of an arena than the Raw we just watched.
And, you know, very important that Pepe's still dressed in a costume. A Superman cape.
Yes. Flying through the air.
Yep. That was Greg Phillips' number 6 character on rank and file.
My goodness, what a remarkably docile dog.
Yes. Number 2 is Arachna Man.
Does whatever an Arachna can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I didn't notice that the ring is directly behind them. It wasn't always? I don't think it was always set up like that, was it?
Not usually.
Yeah. No, usually they were kind of off by the entrance way.
Yeah, they're usually like farther off to the side.
Yeah. It's kind of a cool look.
So Eric Bischoff telling us that we have heard from Nick Lambros, whoever that is, and Jimmy Hart that whoever wins World War III upcoming will become the heavyweight champion.
Wow, the Nick Lambros made that decision.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I got to take my headphone off for a second here.
Oh god.
is Nick Lambros one of our random appearances here?
What? What is this?
Hulk Hogan is in the Dungeon of Doom lair.
And he's dressed like Zorro.
We're dressed like one of the guys from Eyed Wide Shut.
That's a worse image, Steve.
It looks like he looks like Jesse Ventura too. with the mask, like the bottom half of his face. Why is his face all like wrinkled like that?
He's got like little black paint smidged on.
I'm afraid. I'm afraid, guys.
I wish I could hear this.
He's armed with a sword.
The Macho Man's going to bring us the head of Ming on a silver platter.
Wow.
He's got his bandana on behind the mask, guys.
Seriously, why is his face so dirty?
It's like he took the, you know, the little liner that the baseball players use to keep the sun out of their eyes and just went crazy with it.
Smeared it all over himself.
Hogan doesn't know if Sting's on the dark side or the light side, brother.
What side is Hogan on?
Is that a fake rat? That's on that symbol?
Yep.
Really showing off those acting chops is the Hulkster here.
Using his Hulkster voice, but just a little bit more sinister. Just like a fraction.
It's the same bandana that he wore in court for 6 weeks.
I hope this got brought up in the trial somehow.
Yep. Exhibit A. This.
What is this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go, as soon as we're done, I'm watching this with the sound on so I can...
Yeah, I was just going to say, I almost wish I could hear all this.
It's a long promo, too.
Yeah. So, Macho Man, from the love of Hulkamania to you, move fast, move swift, bring me the head of Ming on a silver platter.
What's he got against Meng?
He's part of the Dungeon of Doom.
Well, I mean, when you factor in the afro, that would probably be the best, like, centerpiece for a table. If you're going to have anyone's head, I mean.
Better than Kevin Sullivan, I guess.
Yeah, right?
The crowd just kind of half-filtering in, half-filtering out.
Yeah, because they open the show and have all the pyro and everything and then cut to that for 5 minutes.
Yes.
Meanwhile, David Penzer and Nick Patrick are still standing in the ring.
Dave Penzer's still looking at his notes.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a match. Just like Raw. Well, we're going right into it, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Ming coming to the ring with Jimmy Hart and Kevin Sullivan. Eventually he's coming. Where is he?
There he is.
He's got a giant robe, too.
Mm-hmm.
And a half mask.
Yeah.
Looks like a pair of glasses. Like the mask looks like something like a 15.
It is Eyewise Shut, man.
I also love that during this whole era, Kevin Sullivan is wearing Hulkamania colors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even when Hogan isn't. Yeah, I'm not sure that look works for Meng.
No, not quite.
Ming's son's currently the tag team champions of Japan.
Yep.
Nice.
I like how each guy has this exact same dry ice entrance.
Really go heavy with that, don't they?
Mm-hmm. That's all they got.
Macho Man.
Coming in from
sneak
behind.
Sneak attack.
Also in black.
Oh.
Macho Man wearing an outfit incredibly similar to the black and white getup he had on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Except with more tassels, because it's a couple years later and these things advance. Tassel technology finally got to where Savage needed it to be.
95 was the peak.
Peak tassel?
Yeah.
I wonder if he wants to cut off Meng's head because he thinks that those are tassels on the back.
Oh, man.
Honestly, though, Macho Man vs. Meng is a match I'd probably be interested in watching.
Mm-hmm.
Like on a pay-per-view or something.
Yeah, I'm... Especially over the years, I've come to appreciate Ming a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, he had a real good series with Benoit. I think it was in 97, like in between the Sullivan stuff. Maybe that was 96. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Him and the Barbarian had some pretty good tags against the Steiners, too.
Yeah. When the Outsiders were around, they got pretty popular as the Faces of Fear too, because I think people like legit believed they, not that they were going to beat them, but they were tough dudes, you know.
Yeah.
Not putting up much of a fight here so far, though.
No, not really.
Oh, and the tides have turned.
Yeah, you
for a second. Oh, go ahead, Glenn.
Super kick. Well, he's finally getting a little bit in and a super kick while Jimmy Hart consoles Kevin Sullivan.
Yes. Not only is he wearing Hulkamania colors, it's legit a bathrobe.
Yeah,
it's a colored bathrobe.
Dude, don't touch him. Your filthy hands. Nasty chick in the front row.
For a second, I thought that Ming was not going to get a bit of offense in.
Yeah, I thought he was going up for the elbow.
Telling the story that Savage's ribs are still injured from Lex Luger from a match at Halloween Havoc. And you were at Halloween Havoc too, weren't you, Jordan?
95, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're everywhere.
I was at all the real good pay-per-views.
93 SummerSlam, 95 Havoc.
World War III, 98. And 97.
Yep, work those ribs. There we go.
I think World War III was kind of an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
Give him credit for that.
Oh, yeah. At the time, it was fun.
What would it be like if it was like a Royal Rumble format? Like every 90 seconds, someone comes down.
But there's 60 of them, so it's just the only match in the show.
Yeah. I might like that.
Yeah, just a giant gauntlet in a way. The best was there was always, you know, even though WCW had a massive roster, even they couldn't fill out 60 guys in one match. There was always like Bobby Blaze was in there and stuff.
Buddy Lee Parker.
Yeah.
Fresh off of murdering people at the power plant.
Right.
It's interesting, like, hearing the history of, like, people speak on that on podcasts now, and it was basically just the power plant was just Paul Orndorff and Buddy Lee Parker's like sadist dungeon.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it didn't have a huge success rate either. I mean, how many guys came out of the power plant that became anything? Was Kidman? Did Kidman cover the power plant?
No, he was.
I don't think he did.
He was trained by Appa.
Yeah.
Did Goldberg technically come out of the power plant?
I would think so, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And I don't think people remember Goldberg for being a technical wizard.
Right.
Trying to remember what podcast, I think it was one of Colt's podcasts, either Colt or Jericho, had a cruiserweight on, and like he talked to Diamond Dallas Page, who told him, don't bother going to the power plant, it's just a place for the big guys to throw around the little guys. So all the cruiserweights that they would sign would go down there and they would just have to bump like crazy for them.
Ming missing the top rope diving headbutt gets thrown into the megaphone.
And here it comes.
And a clothesline from reverse and the elbow.
He did. But his head's not on a silver platter.
No.
Nope.
And who's hitting the ring?
The shark is in.
A shark is here.
They're in Jacksonville.
Yep.
Yeah.
Should have known.
There's a jaguar coming in next.
Kevin Sullivan with a...
Oh, and Luger's helping out.
So why are they attacking his arm if his ribs are hurt?
Well, you know, take out another part of the body. Take out all the parts of the body. Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's his stabbing arm, so Ming's head is protected.
My goodness, Luger's outfit is interesting.
Oh, I'm loving it.
Mm-hmm.
Most mid-90s bodybuilder look.
Yeah, he definitely looks more comfortable in this outfit than he did that suit from the last episode.
Is it a powerhouse gym? On the logo? I couldn't see it.
Might be.
It's something.
Is it Main Event Fitness? Wasn't that his gym?
Yeah, but I don't know if he had it already in 95. I thought that was a little later on.
Ooh, look at this.
WCW declares war.
Wow.
Of course, the funniest thing about naming a show World War III is they did three World War IIIs.
Right. Well, it was a long war.
Yeah.
They'd take 11 months off, rest a bit.
Mm-hmm. No, they did four of them, actually. Yeah, 95, 96, 97, 98. Yeah, four.
Uh-oh, there's going to be an update here. Kensuke Sasaki, with his name spelled wrong, which is quite the Nitro normalcy.
Yep. That's a WCW moment.
Yeah, that is definitely a WCW moment.
Sasaki, who is still wrestling in New Japan right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got someone who looks like a Jake Roberts lookalike in the crowd.
Oh, I saw the mustache.
This should be fun.
Yeah, Benoit. Chris Benoit coming to the ring.
Chris Benoit.
Oh, and his Stampede tights.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow tights with a star on the back.
They don't waste any time.
This is very similar to the match with Sean Raw with the Bushwhackers and
Yes. Same
work rate.
Yeah.
Beautiful suit.
I remember reading once that Chris Benoit was heavily influenced by Mr. Hughes.
He wished to one day get as high on the PWI 500 as Mr. Hughes.
Yeah, big power slam from Sasaki, too.
And
well, 95, this is the year in Starrcade where they had the WCW versus New Japan with Starrcade, kind of like a best of seven series. Yep. Gosh.
Sasaki was pissed there. He was going for a belly to belly and it didn't happen, and so he clubbed him on the side of the head with a clothesline.
Receipt.
Yeah, and he has not stopped clubbing him.
No.
This is a stiff fest.
Normally I feel bad for a guy there, but you know, it's Chris Benoit.
Oh, good God.
You don't usually cringe on a bulldog, but
Yeah, no, it's kinda hard to go hard on that move, but look. And one of the harder body slams we'll see tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Currently looking up the PWI 500.
I mean,
Sasaki was number 44 and Chris Benoit was number 46.
Is this that strong style the kids are all on about?
This is like the prick style, I think.
More importantly, I'm going to see where Mr. Hughes was rated in 1995.
Yes.
There probably was some interesting politics in this match because even though Benoit was the WCW guy, he was a New Japan junior heavyweight. So I'm sure New Japan didn't want a junior beating one of their top heavies in a match. You almost did.
And we're kind of seeing that Ring of Honor right now. You know, 2016, where, you know, in Ring of here comes a Rolling Diamonds.
Wow.
You know, you're seeing heavyweights into a dragon instead of a third German suplex. He got him.
That was fun.
Well, forget everything I said.
Yeah.
you know, in Ring of Honor right now, with a lot of the New Japan guys going over, you know, Ring of Honor's guys are more the junior style. So you're seeing, like, Bobby Fish go against Ishii and, you know, O'Reilly go against, you know, a heavyweight. And so the politicking is kind of, you know, you're seeing a lot of the New Japan guys get wins and not many Ring of Honor wins.
Right.
By the way, speaking of the junior style, in 1995, Mr. Hughes rated number 176.
Yes, a drop from 68 from the year before.
Right ahead of that youngster Carlos Colon.
This is one of my favorite parts of the show, seeing what's on Saturday night.
I know, man. Yeah,
Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Sting versus Bunkhouse Buck, and Dean Malenko. So I want to watch that show.
Dean Malenko actually sang three songs that night on Saturday night.
Dean Malenko, the number nine wrestler that you did not know that was Jewish.
Hmm.
That, friends, is what they call a teaser.
Check out the Glenn Butler podcast hour.
I do declare.
I know nobody would buy it, but like a Best of WCW Saturday Night DVD would be pretty awesome.
That'd be awesome.
I'd totally buy that. Randy Savage was number eight on the list.
Have a bad day.
Will do.
And Ming was 92.
Ming was 92, and he's got a Lanny Poffo frisbee.
He's stealing Lanny Poffo's gimmick.
Eddie Guerrero gets no entrance.
He really got some spin on that frisbee.
Johnny B. Badd stole Savage's robe and Poffo's frisbees.
He's got another frisbee.
Yeah. Forgot to read the poem.
Be great if he opened up his robe and there's like 30 of them in there.
You caught me. He's going to sell them after the show.
And of course,
Running out thinking it's a silver platter.
And of course, since we're doing this again, Eddie Guerrero is number 17 and Johnny B. Badd is number 57.
That means that he needs to win.
Yeah.
Yep.
The numbers define it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Eddie was 17 in 1995. Wow.
Yeah.
That's surprising.
Right above Rey Mysterio Jr. Three spots above Ric Flair.
Guys, the Sandman was number 60.
Wow.
Does anyone have Chad Campbell's number?
You know what? I have been making my way through the 1995 ECWs on the network, and like the wrestling isn't great, but it is a damn compelling show.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Stories. Yeah.
And whenever the Sandman wrestles, the thing that I absolutely love is that he doesn't jump off the top rope. He climbs up to the top and just kind of walks off like Wile E. Coyote.
Yep.
Speaking of ECW, we're in November. Was Sabu already gone by this point in WCW?
Yeah, because he was on the second episode
He was on Halloween Havoc, but I think right after that, he was gone.
Sabu, number five on the PWI 500.
Wow.
Jeez. Not a smarky list.
Yeah, not overrated at all.
So 1995, who would number one have been? Bret Hart, maybe?
Number four?
Sean.
Number two?
Diesel?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, Tugboat?
He's only nine above Misawa. Misawa's number 10.
This match isn't half bad.
No, not at all.
Johnny B. Badd's keeping up with them.
Doesn't that mean it is half bad, though?
It is half bad, half good.
Eddie with that wobbly fallback. That was fun.
Nice leg drop.
I agree with whoever just groaned.
That was my stomach.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Needs more Doritos.
That's the receipt from the Doritos.
Hey, guys, you have to watch Johnny Badd all the time because he has that left hand.
You know
those
the one.
Those two-handed wrestlers you got to watch out for.
Some people have educated feet. Johnny B. Badd has an educated left hand.
It's like a springboard Hurricane Rana by Eddie a moment ago.
Yeah.
Going for the superplex.
Superplex is coming up.
Does not get it.
Whoa.
Ooh. Nice sunset flip.
You know, they don't. Nobody does sunset flips anymore. That's my old man whine of the day. Back in my day,
he flew half across the ring in that sunset flip. Exchanging pins. Whoa, Eddie flies over the top rope. We've seen a lot of dead people on this episode so far, haven't we?
Yeah, it's a bummer. Ooh. What's he calling for?
Oh, Tope Cone.
Oh. Wow.
Is there a name for that move for him?
It's a Tope Cone Hilo, but
yeah,
a little different.
Since he was signaling for it, I didn't know if he had like a... I thought he was grabbing his knee, but I don't know if that was anything real or not.
So you have Eddie, Benoit, John Tenta, Savage.
Wow, even that was pretty cool. And he just sits up and then pins him.
And Genevieve Vann working a little high fly and lucha style here.
Mm-hmm. By the way, the dog is probably dead too.
Pepe?
Yeah, he's Pepe, probably dead. Yeah,
but he'll live on forever.
Ooh, nice.
Eddie with a victor. Oh, we messed it up a little bit, but... It's always cool about Eddie was he'd do moves that, you know, other guys would do, but he put that snap into it. Mm-hmm. Just made it seem so much quicker and...
Looked like he was going to do a Hurricane Rana, but came down for another pin.
Yeah.
Nice drop toe hold.
El Dandy's signature.
La Magistral.
Mm-hmm.
That was his right hand, not
yeah,
his left.
Yeah, Eddie's good yeah. still.
Oh, he missed that's the left. Oh, he missed the right. Ooh.
After so many flipping moves, we've now devolved into a slugfest.
I was thinking, yeah. Interesting psychology to a match. Let's Rana. Let's punch each other.
Eric Bischoff again. We knew the left hand was there.
Sure did. Yes.
Well, Bischoff's my favorite Bischoff call was when he would call a move a back leg front kick. Back leg front kick.
Back and to the front.
So they almost went with a knockout finish there.
No, oh, there's a pause after the punching, and now Eddie's mad. He's got a hot temper. Oh,
still using his right fist. Come on, use the left one.
He doesn't want to kill the man. What if this match ended because like their hair got all tangled together?
Oh,
it is gonna be just a non-finish, isn't it? They're just gonna keep fighting.
Looks like they just wiped out the referee.
Yeah. That's a little lame.
The referee's back up, though.
He's letting it go.
Let them fight.
It's funny. You watch this, and it's fine. It's fun to watch, but you always kind of got the vibe with WCW. Like, they just didn't, like, know what they were doing a lot. Like, it's almost like they just told these guys, go have a match. And they're like, who's going over?
Mm-hmm. I thought he stopped the match. Oh,
like, he separated them. And now they're going back to wrestling, and the crowd was going crazy for a moment there. I really like this match.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Good storytelling. They just got carried away, and now cooler heads prevailing.
These two have got some pretty good chemistry too.
Yeah.
Well, they're both baby faces right now, right? I mean, I don't think Eddie was a heel.
No, they did a handshake before the match.
That's right. Okay. Code of honor.
Code of honor.
Talked after the punching about how they're going to get some cauliflower ears after this match. And it reminds me of the most recent Ring of Honor, one of the more recent ones. Kyle O'Reilly was in Las Vegas, and he had this disgusting cauliflower ear that was completely swollen and like looked like it was just going to start pussing.
Oh, Tombstone by Mark Marrow or John B. Bad, whatever his name
is. Is that Randy Anderson? Is
yeah.
That
the ref? Leaping over with the spot of the night. Randy Anderson's a high flyer, too.
kind of kicked Marrow in the head as he did it. I didn't know he's Johnny B. Bad here, but it's just like a habit that I'm calling him Marrow, I think.
Right.
Trying to ease back into some more of the high flying stuff now.
Yeah, and he goes for a DDT, and it looked like, I mean, it connected, but I don't think it was supposed to do that.
No, not really.
Almost like he fell out into a bulldog, almost.
Oh,
Is that the Midnight Rider in the front row?
Yes! There's your random appearance.
Ooh, double cross body.
Love that spot.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the guys who can do it with velocity.
Yeah.
Think Uncle Elmer ever did that, Glenn? Big double cross body.
You know, I haven't dived into the tape yet. I wouldn't put it past him.
We have a time limit draw.
That was really fun.
That was
I didn't
fun,
want to spoil
yeah.
it. They said 45 seconds left, and I'm like, well, we know what's happening here. A little pushing and shoving after the bell.
Oh.
What's wild is I don't even think this led to a feud.
Is that really wild?
Wild man.
Wild man.
A couple of wild men in the ring.
Standing ovation from the crowd.
Well deserved.
Yeah. And they shake hands, hug each other. I do like they kind of put over in commentary. This is the stuff that happens when you
and he grabs the belt out of his hand.
Yeah, when you compete at this level, like it gets
chippy.
Little heated.
Poor Pepe. Like, I mean, he's at this live event. They got pyro. Like, can't imagine that's so good for that little poor dog. Thank God it's immortal.
Yeah, that dog must be really blissed out to make it through all the pyro and being held this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Mean Gene's in the ring.
Kevin Sullivan in his bathrobe. Here comes Jimmy Hart. Here comes the giant.
Yeah, I think maybe this is why they don't have the announce table in front of the ring all the time.
Yeah, they just gave away their next segment.
Giant doing some Hulk.
So is Jimmy Hart.
Well, and here's a WCW thing, too. They're saying next week Hulk Hogan's going to be against Sting. Hulk Hogan wants to face Sting. When the whole point of the original promo was, Sting, I'm watching you. If I find out you're on the bad side too with Luger and you're part of the Dungeon of Doom, I'm going to get you. And you know,
let's
20,
right
30
now.
Minutes later, they say we're going to do that match next week.
Oh, sounds like mm-hmm. someone made up his mind.
Jim Gaffigan combined with the Sandman in a Gold's Gym shirt on the left side of the screen.
Oh my God!
Oh my God! Oh my God! Stop the podcast. We're done.
We have reached. I don't know what we put that in. It's not like most 90s, but it. I knew he was wearing a Gold's Gym V-neck shirt, and he had not seen a gym.
Not in a long time.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, I can't get over that. Jimmy Hart's still carrying around his Hulk Hogan jacket. Is he going to burn it? Tell me he burns it.
He said that the only thing that he's, you know, they succeeded in taking the belt off Hogan. The only thing that he's upset about is what he's going to do with the jacket. All of his Hulk Hogan jackets.
True dilemma. What am I going to do with all my Hulk Hogan jackets?
Yeah.
You know, that's the decision I had to make last summer.
Really young.
Yeah. I apologize for not remembering this, but why is the belt held up here?
Giant was champion, I think, going into Halloween Havoc, and then him and a mummy raped Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
So I think that's
No, wasn't Halloween Havoc when they did the monster truck match?
Oh, both things happened at Halloween Havoc 95.
Right, I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan was champion, and then they did the monster truck deal, and then the Yeti came out, and Giant just kind of left with the belt.
Okay.
Like you do.
As you do, yeah.
Well, like Eddie tried to do after the last match.
Yes. And I apologize for calling Big Show the Giant.
If you didn't correct yourself, somebody would have.
There can only be one giant, and that's me.
Kevin Sullivan just fainted.
Oh, no. Jimmy Hart's covering him with Hulk Hogan's jacket. Kevin Sullivan's having a seizure. He's having a Hulk Hogan seizure.
This is awesome.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Someone help that man.
Up next, Sting versus Dean Malenko. Wow.
Randomness.
Mm-hmm. Nice tune-up for Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Think I got to fight the Hulkster?
Yeah, we're gonna feed this up-and-coming hump Dean Malenko to you.
Yeah.
Nice little warm-up match.
Whoever wrote the Wikipedia for Halloween Havoc 1995 is my hero. In the main event, Hogan was disqualified after Hart hit the referee with a World Heavyweight Championship belt. Hart then turned on Hogan by hitting him with the world title belt and became manager of the Dungeon of Doom. After the match, the Yeti came to the ring and assisted Giant in hugging Hogan so that they were both hugging Hogan at the same time.
That makes sense. I want to say that there was some stipulation that if Hulk got DQ'd, he'd lose the belt.
Yeah, Jimmy Hart revealed it.
And so Jimmy, yeah, that's right.
And then, but then he was stripped.
Mm-hmm. So it was just a stupid plan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if Jim Cornette had written that stip in the contract, it would have been ironclad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Giant would have won by countout.
That foam finger is informing us that Sting is number one.
Wow, so you saw four pre-show matches for Halloween Havoc. Eddie Guerrero defeated Disco Inferno in a 3 minute and 21 second
clinic. Oh, the show itself had like, I swear, like 10, 11 matches on it.
13 matches.
Wow.
Paul Orndorff defeated the Renegade in a minute 22.
Wow.
That's about right.
Well, those were probably for, what was it, Worldwide that would air matches before the pay-per-views?
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the day.
How about this one? Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko defeated the Blue Blood, Steven Regal and Bobby Eaton.
Ooh.
That sounds promising.
Mm-hmm.
My brother was actually at Halloween Havoc 94 as well. I was not. That was Hogan and Flair in the cage.
Mm-hmm. Now, Malenko does have a counter hold for every hold. Does he have a counter hold for the stinger, like the scream, the woo?
Or Johnny B. Badd's left hand?
Mm.
Nobody can counter Johnny B. Badd's left hand.
I really love Dean Malenko, man. It bums me out when I listen to guys like Chad and Parv because they don't like him.
What's the knock on him?
That he's just a little too, I think just too much moves without reasoning for it, maybe. I don't know. That or maybe they just hate him because he's Jewish. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
And Chad's not here to defend himself, so that's what I'm going to go with.
Oh, and why isn't Chad here? Is it maybe because of the proportion of representation on this show?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It would be irresponsible not to speculate.
Yeah, openly.
Malenko kicked his knee out from under his knee. Dean Malenko, why are you taking a commercial break during this and not the Giant interview? Favorite moves of all time is Malenko on the, I think he's on the second rope, and he
has
he
on his shoulders, like his shoulders
lifts,
carry.
Yeah, lifts him up over his head as he's coming down and gives him a stomach breaker. Yeah. So awesome.
He did it to Ray a couple more than a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dean firmly in control when we come back.
Leg bar. Oh, we have a replay of what happened during the break. Thank you.
Ooh.
Oh, Sting went for the Scorpion Deathlock.
But.
Oh, his counter was to reach the ropes.
That's not a very. That doesn't count as one of your
clever
holds.
See, I was thinking for sure he was going to go for the sharpshooter and his leg would give out. But, no.
Ooh.
Look at that guy. The Midnight Rider's just sitting there watching. What was the other one too? The Dirty Yellow Dog? Is that the other one?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll be on next week's Nitro with the front row.
Working the knee this whole time. Sting trying to work a chin lock of some sort.
Yeah, something. I'm not sure what he's doing there.
Gotta just try to distract the guy.
Maybe he's trying to cover his eyes so he didn't know where he was.
Crowd into Guerrero and Bad more than this match.
Yeah, I was noticing they're all kind of just sitting.
Yeah, there's some clapping. Oh, now the Midnight Rider's clapping.
Maybe everyone's just got their eyes on him waiting to see what he approves of.
Is he going to ride on a horse?
Well, maybe there's something to be said for starting your match with several solid minutes of high-flying moves.
That's true.
I mean,
and then violent brawls.
Whoa, ooh, kind of a sick German really suplex there.
Even Bischoff can't make sense of the main event for Hogan versus Sting. Saying Hogan saying, I know who my friends are, so I want Sting in the ring. What?
I know who my friends are, but I don't know about Sting, so let's fight him. So then he definitely
sure
won't be
my
friend. There you go. Yeah.
Are we really friends? Let's fight. Find out. Dean going for the clover leaf, and he gets
the win off a small package.
Needed.
Crowd likes that one.
Yeah. That's a lot better than having Malenko tap to the Scorpion Deathlock.
Yeah.
Kensuke Sasaki's going to get the a shot at the U.S. title in Tokyo after losing to Chris Benoit.
And he's going to win
sure,
it.
Sure, why not?
He wins, too.
But Sting didn't even have the belt with him, did he?
Mm-mm.
I didn't see it, no.
No. Meanwhile, the Nitro logo is eternally burning.
It's like the Yule log channel at Christmas time.
Yes!
Yeah.
That Sting still in the ring back there? Yep. Pepe's perched on the shoulder.
Pepe perched 5 feet high. Oh, and there he goes.
They're just talking about the Hogan giant claws again.
I think Pepe's trying to get away, guys.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's trying to make a break for it.
Seems just standing around looking like an idiot this whole time.
Yeah, they just always had problems with like formatting their show. Like, imagine being there right now.
Yeah.
Like, the match hasn't just ended. They did a commercial. And they came back for commercial, and Sting's still in the ring.
You're like, what the hell is he even doing?
Is that Gene in the ring with him behind Bischoff?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, Sting won the title on June 18th over Ming in a tournament final. And then he goes on to take on Kensuke Sasaki on November 13th.
Yeah, I know Sasaki was U.S. champ around this time. I don't know if that's when he won the title or not.
Mm-hmm. And Which is odd because this is when they say November 13th is this episode.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
So.
And what's really random is I swear that the one-man gang had a title run, a U.S. title run right around there too. I think he might have beat Sasaki for the title.
Really? One-man gang in 95?
Yeah.
Yes. Hogan is, or Sting is, accepting the challenge. He said, "I can let it slide when you left me a little dog hanging in my front porch. I don't understand this.
What?
That's terrifying. That's awful.
I'm a big dog,
when you murdered an animal."
Talking about all the people who have come and gone that he's defeated.
Anyone by name, or is it just alluding?
Just alluding.
Mm. He's not going to watch. Watching on binoculars right behind him.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And I see you at home on TV.
Crowd behind him does not look happy.
No.
No.
Binocular guy is really something.
I don't think you need the binoculars. I mean, you don't need to. You don't need to bring all your peeping Tom equipment to the wrestling show.
Yeah, he's probably creeping on some girl on the other side of the arena.
He slowly pulls him down, looks at the guy next to him. Yep, that's Sting, all right.
So this was a taped episode.
Oh, was it?
Yes, it was taped from the week before.
Oh, okay. So they must have done something else so the crowd didn't go home after that Sting interview.
And
did they tape another episode after that?
No, there was no November 6th episode.
Mm. Wow, I didn't know Nitros were taped at all.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, we saw Sting and Ric Flair. Yeah, we saw, yeah. And yeah, because the November 13th is in Japan.
Okay. Special thanks. Oh, I missed it.
Terror on Church Street.
Is that like the haunted house that Hulk was in?
Yeah. Oh.
I can quick do, I'll go through this, the Tokyo Japan Sumo Hall show. I'll go through the interpromotional matches. Junji Harada pinned Booker T. Chono and Saito defeated Johnny B. Badd and Bobby Eaton. That's an odd combination.
Mm-hmm.
Chosu and Masa Saito defeated the Nasty Boys.
Ugh.
The Giant and Arn Anderson defeated Shinya Hashimoto and Tadao Yasuda. And the Giant pinned Yasuda with a choke slam.
Yasuda was a big guy, so they probably did like a stare down with Giant.
Ric Flair defeated Nishimura.
Okay.
Tenzan pinned Kurosawa. Well, I'm guessing Kurosawa is representing WCW there.
Yeah, I guess so.
He had Sonny Ono with him. Great Muda pinned Lord Steven Regal in 16 minutes.
That can be good or terrible. Who knows?
Yeah, Kensuke Sasaki pinned U.S. champion Sting to win the title at 12:47 with a brainbuster. Interesting.
Sounds like an all right show.
Yeah. All right.
Who did Flair fight on that show?
Hold on one second. I just lost it here.
I said he was Lex Luger type, but I think I was wrong.
Nishimura? Was that who it was?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I don't think he was like Lex Luger at all. Never
mind. Osamu Nishimura.
I was thinking of Manabu Nakanishi, just because they both used the torture rack. That's it.
All right. Well, let us hold on one second. Let me get into my list here. Greeny, what was your match of the night?
Johnny B. Bad and Eddie Guerrero was a hidden gem. Yeah, got to go that way.
All right. Jordan, how about you?
I thought all of them were pretty decent, to be honest. Yeah. But yeah, I'll go with Eddie and Bad.
Glenn?
I agree.
Excellent. That will be mine as well. Your most mid-90s person.
That one's harder.
There was a woman in the front row that had very short denim shorts and a white cutoff t-shirt that she probably was a little too old to be wearing.
I kind of want to say the Peeping Tom from the Sting interview.
or the Jim Gaff. The Jim Gaff in Sandman.
Yes.
Let's just go with him, the Jim Gaffigan.
Sure.
Sandman.
The time traveling love child of Jim Gaffigan and the Sandman.
Wearing a gold Jim V neck ripped shirt.
That has never seen a Jim.
Oh, goodness.
In most random appearance, I'm going to go with the Midnight Rider.
Yes.
It's not even close.
And the most WCW moment.
Hogan Zorro.
Yeah. I was thinking
either that or how about misspelling Kintsugi Sasaki?
Yeah, there's that and then just going to the commercial in the middle of your main event. But I guess that's like a Raw thing now too, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Glenn, how about you? Anything that stick out to you?
Oh, goodness. Maybe some of the duller moments of people standing around while the announcers were talking.
We have a whole bunch to choose. I think the Hogan Zorro eyes wide shut promo. CW, especially since it didn't match up to what they're doing.
Anything else.
That's what I'll go with. And let's rate it. Jordan.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I thought the interviews were a little... I mean, I'm fine with interviews in a show, but I feel like they were put in the wrong spots, you know? Like, you come off that really exciting match, and then you get an interview. But even that, Kevin Sullivan was really good, just flailing around on the ground. I'm going to give it a... I'll go with 8.
Okay. Glenn?
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it flowed pretty well. I'm going to go with 7.5.
And Greeny?
I'll go with an 8, too. The work rate was very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I was going to think 7.5, so that would make it 7.75 overall. So you know there's a Saturday night taping that happens after the Japan shows that has the kind of an odd match, Lex Luger defeating Jerry Lynn.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Mr. JL.
Yes. All right, that does it. I mean, don't we have to do like 6.5-hour shows? So we have...
My number 92 entry...
is Sergeant Craig Pittman.
Oh, I have him later.
Oh, okay. All right, gentlemen, with that, we will not take a break and do 4 more episodes. We will say so long. We're going to go deep into the bowels and maybe talk about what we're going to do for the next live watch. I know what I don't want to do. So for Glenn, Jordan, Jason Greenhouse, and Chad Campbell sitting somewhere in a Holiday Inn Express across the country.
Probably with Jim Gaffigan in the stand. Jim Gaffigan. Love child.
So long, everybody.
You know, it could be worse. Chad could be at the Holiday Inn in Emporia, Virginia.
# high spat throwback.
Thank you. That's one only Steve gets. Good night, everybody.
I got run to keep from hiding. I'm bound to keep on riding. And I got one more silver dollar. And I ain't gonna let them catch me, no. I ain't gonna let them catch the midnight rider.